from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
And I'm Barry, and aren't I in Japan right now? Oh, wait a second. We're recording this the night before I leave, so...
Marty, we gotta go back. Back to the future. We're recording. Usually we record on a Sunday night. We're recording on Friday due to Barry's little shindig he's got coming up. When do you leave?
I literally leave tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
There you go. So we are recording on a Friday. So we got plenty to talk about. So first things first here, we're going to dive into a few little pop culture goodies, some movie trailers. And first things first, real quick, Kingdom Hearts is coming to Disney Springs in a new temporary pop-up exhibit. They're going to have it out there at Disney Springs at Walt Disney World. They're going to have... a Keyblade display. They're going to have a demo of the game to play, which was kind of surprising because I wasn't expecting them to do anything of the sort here locally. But it seems like Disney's really getting behind Kingdom Hearts 3 this time.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be able to play a 15-minute preview of the game. This kicks off December 14th through the January 31st. And it's, I believe it's in the town center, section of Disney Springs where they'll have this set up. So that's the area that's near the Lime parking garage. So, it's hard to believe it's been 12 years since Kingdom Hearts 2.
We've gotten every like Kingdom Hearts 3.684.2. In between Kingdom Hearts 2 and 3.
Yeah.
But we haven't gotten Kingdom Hearts 3 yet. Finally, we're getting it. And you'll be able to play this demo before the game comes out on... The game comes out on January...
25th.
So then this pop-up thing at Disney Springs starts, what, next week? So
yeah.
I'll have to go out there because you'll be in Japan.
Yes.
So I'll have to go out there and check it out. So
yeah, it's definitely looking forward to stopping by and checking that out. It's like I don't get time to play video games that much anymore, but this one might be one that I might pick up when it comes out. So
yeah, the thing that kind of bummed me out, I mean, I get it. I don't know where they're going to put this thing. If it's going to be like literally like in the middle of the
I'm wondering
or if it's an empty store.
I wonder if, well, you know, they closed that other, the, was it not Disney Style, but it was the temporary store they had right next to the escalators while World of Disney was under construction.
Oh, yeah, they could.
So I wonder if it's going in there.
No, I was going to say, I'm bummed out that they're not going to have a meet and greet, but I don't know if they could do something like that at Disney Springs.
Yeah.
You know, due to crowd control and that sort of thing. But I would have loved to see in some sort of meet and greet with the Kingdom Hearts character. But I'll take what I can get. It should be a fun little thing to go out there and check out, which I'm sure the wife will too, because she's more obsessed with Kingdom Hearts than I am. So we'll have to take a family trip out there to Disney Springs next week and check. We haven't done anything out at Disney Springs yet, and we'll have to go out there and maybe do the Christmas tree trail and check out all that stuff. So,
yeah.
Moving on here, we got a couple Marvel goodies this week.
Yeah, we got one that they gave us a warning on. That would be the Captain Marvel trailer, which debuted during Monday Night Football. And then, you know, 8 o'clock this morning, out of nowhere, they just dropped an Avengers trailer.
Yeah,
and then
finally.
Then allegedly we'll be getting a Spider-Man one. Obviously, this is Friday night. Allegedly, we're getting a Spider-Man Far From Home trailer tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they just carpet-bombed this week with Marvel trailers. But let's kick it off with Captain Marvel.
No. We need to kick it off with... Kim Possible.
Yeah.
Live action.
Yeah, it was like it on the same day they drop Avengers, they drop the Kim Possible live action TV movie.
I completely forgot about that when we were setting up our agenda here. Not that I care, but
to say the reaction to that thing was mixed might be an understatement.
Whose bright idea was it to release it? I mean, I get it. It's the Disney Channel. It's got its own little niche audience, but. Yeah. Still, whose bright idea was it to launch the Kim Possible live-action Disney Channel trailer?
But I don't know if they think the movie's that bad as that trailer looks. Maybe that's why they released it.
They wanted to bury it under the insanity that's in-game Avengers.
I mean,
anyways,
it wasn't that great looking.
No, back to Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, we finally got our first full-blown trailer for Captain Marvel. Good, since it's coming out in 4 months. And learned a little bit more in this trailer. They teased a little bit more, and we got to see her powers, which I'd say are pretty impressive.
I think that was the biggest takeaway for me in the trailer, was seeing her just complete badass mode and just...
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, blowing ships out of the space.
Yeah, that clip at the end of the trailer there where she's just blowing stuff up, and you're like, Thanos? You might want to watch it there, buddy. Yeah. But, I don't know a whole lot of about the comic book aspect of Captain Marvel. That's one of the ones that I'm kind of foggy on. I never read her comic book. So I'm not 100% clear on her storyline.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got a little bit more of the story, of the tease of what the story will be, of how she becomes who she is, and, you know, that she isn't, you know, obviously fully human, or whether she's human at all. It'll be interesting to see what they do with her origin story in this... And whether it feels like the origin story, her origin is going to be told in flashback to me. It seems like that's you know, they're doing the whole thing where she's lost her memory. So maybe we'll get instead of going, a linear timeline, we'll get more of a fragmented as she remembers where she came from.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's so awesome about Captain Marvel is, you know, this is Marvel's first female lead character driven movie, and the fact that it's gonna be a prequel, you know, and they really haven't done a prequel yet. If you go back and you look at all these Marvel movies, you know, this will be the first prequel that's, you know, set a back in time, at least, you know, a good portion of the movie should be.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to see, you know, and this sort of ties into Avengers, what will be the post-credit trailers. Because obvious, you know, in whatever part of Thanos' plan that we didn't see, because we didn't see the attack on Nova Prime, Thanos has to know she exists.
Yeah.
And if she still does exist, you know, that we don't know how Captain Marvel ends. All we know is it takes place during the 90s. But if she is still out there, you got to imagine that Thanos was keeping her occupied while he was doing everything else.
Yeah.
Or she was part of the battle on Nova Prime and he thought he took her out. You know, that's the only thing I can think of, you know. But we'll find out when Captain Marvel comes out in March.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm excited about the movie. This trailer was far better than the teaser we got. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. Now, speaking of Thanos, like we said, we got the name and the trailer for Avengers 4 today. Well, yeah, on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, it's Avengers Endgame, which had been the heavily rumored name for this movie. It's you know, there had been, what, three names that leaked, and Endgame was one of them. And
yeah,
from what I've read too, there the three names that leaked were all three that they were seriously considering, like up until very recently.
Yeah,
about what the name of this movie was going to be. And Endgame makes sense. You know, you got the line Doctor Strange says toward the end of Infinity War, where, you know, he basically says, we're in the Endgame now.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that on Twitter today.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, the whole way Infinity War ends, you know, with him trading his stone to save Tony's life, because whatever future vision he saw, Tony Stark has to stay alive.
Yeah.
But we find Tony Stark adrift in space.
Yeah, that's how the
About to run out of power and oxygen.
That's how the trailer kicks off. Tony's in the Guardian's ship.
Yeah.
Just kind of floating out in space with Nebula.
Yeah.
Nebula's with him. And he basically says they're out of food, they're out of water, and the oxygen's going to run out, you know, pretty much tomorrow. I don't know. I forgot what he said. The next day, pretty much within a day.
Yeah.
Oxygen's going to run out. So surely that's not how Tony's going to go out, just floating around in the Guardian spaceship. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But because obviously he is heading back from Titan, trying to get back to Earth.
Yeah, I mean that's obvious. That's the first part of the trailer. Then we get a lot of Steve and Natasha. You know, basically her recounting what happened. You know, we see Thanos' hand walking through a field, and we see like his armor up as a scarecrow. So we assume he's on his wherever he ended up, you know, farming.
Yeah, I actually had to read more into that, because apparently in the comic books, Thanos he starts a farm or something when he does this in the comic books.
Yeah, he's done his due. He's done what he set out to do, and as far as he's concerned, he's done.
Yeah, but he's shown wearing the Infinity Gauntlet with what appears to be all the Infinity Stones still in it too.
Yeah,
it's just crispy crittered.
Yeah, I mean, you see that. You see Bruce looking through what we assume is everyone who they think is dead, and they show Scott Ant-Man as one of the presumed dead. You know, we see Natasha finding blank on his name.
Hawkeye.
Ronan,
Clint.
Now, somewhere in, looks like Japan. So the question is, how much time has passed since Infinity War? We've heard everything, like, you know, that during the course of the movie, it's going to be, I've heard everything from 6 months to 5 years.
I saw an article earlier that said there's not going to be a time jump at all. I mean, aside from what time was, I don't know. I didn't read the article, but I saw a headline somewhere saying that.
I feel like there's got to be somewhat of a time jump due to a few rumored things. The fact that apparently Scott's daughter appears in it, but it's a different actress.
Oh.
And the actress who did her is like 16 years old in real life.
Yeah.
And also the fact that the way the trailer ends was Scott showing up and them and Steve thinking that this is a recording.
Yeah.
So how much time has passed?
And I mean, if you do think about it, you got Thanos at doing his whole farming thing with his armor off and everything, and surely he didn't do that overnight. So
yeah, and then also the fact, I mean, Clint just doesn't all of a sudden become, you know. We're assuming now what a lot of people had heard, we assume that his entire family dies in front of him.
Yeah. And that's when he goes balls to the wall crazy and
yeah,
turns into the badass that's Ronan.
Yeah.
What else did we see? There were probably a lot of sad ladies to learn that the beard is gone from Captain America, Steven, his clean shaven.
And that's another idea of trying to show time has passed.
Yeah.
You know, and I think based on other things we've seen in concept art and stuff, some time has passed because they, you know, not only do they have to pick up their lives, but they have to deal with, I imagine they have to deal with a world in chaos, not a world, well, a galaxy in chaos.
Yeah.
Because all these people disappear. So I imagine that that's probably one of the things Clint's probably doing is he's, you know, there's, I imagine, you know, half the world disappears, you know, there's going to be some issue with law and order and just pure chaos going on.
The Purge.
Yeah.
Basically.
So it's and to me, I don't know if it would have as much oomph if there isn't a time passage. You know, if at, not at the same time that they
yeah,
think they might be.
I could see that.
You know, because it's been rumored that Ant-Man is in the whatever he learns that in his time in the quantum realm is going to be the way they go through time and fix this.
And you can kind of pick that up in the trailer at the, like we said at the very the kind of cliffhanger moment in the trailer when Scott shows up on the camera outside of the Avengers headquarters. You can kind of sense an urgency in him, like he has something to tell them, really important, something to show them.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like I said, it's a teaser, and it's a great teaser because it shows you a few things, but it doesn't really reveal much of anything.
And speaking of Captain Marvel, you know, she's not in this at all. I don't know if they're going to save her for the trailer or not show her at all, or
I imagine they're going to save her for whatever her, like I said, I feel like the tease up to her coming into Endgame is going to be at the end of the Captain Marvel movie.
Yeah, so we may not see her at all in the trailers.
Yeah, I imagine they're gonna, because I imagine we may get one more trailer before Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
and then right after Captain Marvel, we'll get a final trailer. But like I said, I mean, we everyone's waited and everyone's wanted it, and they finally showed up. And then the other thing, to no surprise at all, they moved it up a week.
Yeah, I saw that. April 26th now is the release date for...
Yeah, to once again line the USA date with all the worldwide dates that were going to happen. And also, you know, whether... You know, not that it really helped last year with Solo, but it gives Aladdin, which is coming out Memorial Day weekend, it gives Avengers a whole month before Disney, you know, before Aladdin comes out, which, you know,
yeah,
that's a lot of people. That's the one that you know, myself think may be the live action remake that bombs this year. So.
Yeah. Poor Aladdin.
Yeah. So, but no, I'm excited. I mean, this movie already had my money.
Yeah. Like everybody was saying, like I said on Twitter, Marvel could not release an Infinity War teaser trailer at all and still break every sort of box office record with this film.
And then, you know, the funny thing, when some of the reaction from Captain Marvel from certain people is like, well, I think I'll just skip this one. It's like, why would you skip this one? I mean, are you serious? You're going to skip this one.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw not negativity, just people kind of like meh about Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Like they have no interest in it. I'm like, you do realize that this that she's going to play an intricate part in Avengers 4.
Yeah.
They're just not doing this movie to do it.
Yeah, it's not like it. I'll be honest, you could have waited for Ant-Man and the Wasp. You could have waited till video to see it. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, as much as I enjoy the movie, and I bought it, I've got it on 4K Blu-ray. and just watched it again recently. You know, it's but this, I don't think you can skip Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I think it's going to be one that you're going to have to see. I mean, there's been Marvel movies that, yeah, you could wait for it to come out on Blu-ray, but this one, I don't think it would be. I mean, if you plan on waiting to see Endgame, sure, hold off on it. But if you want to keep up on these movies, you know, when they come out, and see them in the movie theater, you're not going to be able to know what's going on. So, yeah. So we got Captain Marvel. We got Avengers Endgame, which, like we said, hits theaters on April 26 now. So, good stuff this week. Now we're going to be moving. We're going to take you to Japan, Barry. Are you ready?
Yes. We're going to
Japan.
Yes, in the series of what we like to call things Japan gets or is getting that we're not getting that makes people over here jealous.
Yeah, and I'm one of them.
And first up is Universal Studios Japan did a special ceremony because they're getting Baby Grinch from the Grinch movie.
Yeah, this was... I actually saw you retweet the article, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I saw the photos and I was like, okay, he's adorable, you know.
Yeah.
That they went with the Baby Grinch and not the adult version of the Grinch in the new he's gonna be based on the new Illuminations Grinch movie, obviously,
which isn't even out yet in Japan.
Yeah, that's the other thing I learned at the last minute as I was writing the article for the website. I was like, the Grinch isn't even out in Japan yet, because it comes out... When does it come out?
It comes out December 14th.
Yeah, so in a week. And
the meet and greet starts on December 7th.
Yeah, it started today. Yeah, so. Yeah, they did it in the little... the Minion section of the park.
Yeah, and let's talk about the Minions in Christmas costumes. Another thing we don't get here.
Yeah. I loved the ones they did for Halloween, the little Frankenstein Minions and stuff.
Yeah.
But I've heard the Japanese are absolutely nuts over the Minions. I don't know. They're popular over here, but I've heard, like, the Japanese are, like, a step above, and they love the Minions. So I can kind of see why they're getting all the special Minion stuff over there, and we get, you know, we got some of the merchandise over here at Universal Studios Florida, but we didn't get the characters. We got some merchandise and some clothing and stuff, but yeah, the Christmas Minions are pretty adorable too. So,
that's kicked off now, and then also at Universal Studios Japan, they have announced a new attraction based on the movie, the Illuminations movie, Sing. It's going to be called Sing on Tour, that will feature music, singing, dancing, and your favorite Sing characters. So this is pretty much a show.
Yeah, it's not going to... I heard it's replacing their Terminator 2 attraction. But don't quote me on that. That's just what I heard.
Which is rather interesting, which you might say.
Yeah, because our Terminator attraction is currently under refurbishment, our makeover, I should say.
Yeah, and we still
haven't gotten any details.
Yes, we've heard everything from a Jason Bourne stunt show to one of the rumors was Sing.
Yeah, that was a rumor. I think that was one of the first rumors that popped up was Sing.
So maybe that was more coming to Universal Studios Japan, or maybe this is coming here too. So
yeah, because really the only thing Sing we have over here is the big parade float that comes out, right?
No, I don't even think Sing's in the parade.
Or no, I'm thinking A Secret Life of Pets. Sorry, wrong movie.
Yeah, Secret Life of Pets we have.
All these Illuminations movies kind of blur together for me.
But according to Universal, the description is, stars of the film break through the two-dimensional world to sing the hit songs from the movie in a dramatic live show, sure to make musical history, promising to become one of the most entertaining shows in Japan. So it'll be, and it's held in the world's first ever Illumination Theater... A brand new theater jointly designed with illumination equipped with leading edge production quality. So I'm wondering if these are going to, if there's going to be the characters from the movie, but this is not, I wonder if they're going to, their mouths are going to move much like the, some of the, they do at some of the Disney shows.
Yeah, kind of like Mickey and, you know, some of the stage shows they do, they actually blink and move their mouth and articulate it more.
It'll be interesting to see what this show is, and it'll be interesting to see if this show ends up coming here, too.
Yeah, you know, between this and The Grinch, it seems like Universal's really getting on the Illumination's bandwagon here and really starting to place more of them inside, at least in Japan, place them into the parks more, so
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if we get anything of the sort over here. Even though we've had the parade with, like I said, the Secret Life of Pets float. But other than that, we really don't have anything else Illuminations over here.
Yeah, outside of the Minions. So.
Yeah, and the Minions.
So the single tour will be coming to Universal Studios Japan in spring of 2019.
And finally, moving over to Tokyo Disneyland,
talk about dropping a video out of nowhere and shocking everybody.
Yeah, this video I think blew everybody's mind. They released a behind the scenes video. Tokyo Disneyland, for those that don't know. They're getting a huge expansion over the next several years, and the first area is going to be featuring a Beauty and the Beast attraction.
A whole Beauty and the Beast like land.
It's going to basically be like our new Fantasyland section over here, but I think bigger.
Yeah, it's going to feature the attraction Enchanted Tale of Beauty and the Beast.
We got the name too.
And it's also, they're opening the Fantasyland Forest Theater, which is their first full-scale indoor theater. So it's going to, like, a really big, I guess, almost like Broadway-style theater. They have not had, they have, like, smaller indoor shows there, but nothing of large scale. This is on top of a Big Hero 6 coming to Tomorrowland with the Happy Ride with Baymax. So that's coming to Tokyo Disneyland.
And that's going to be like an Alien Swirling Saucers Mater's Junkyard Jamboree ride,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And Soarin' will be coming to Tokyo Disney Sea. And also Minnie Mouse will be getting a brand new meet and greet location in Tokyo Disneyland in Toontown. There'll be some new shops and restaurants too.
And they're also getting a Frozen attraction, a Tangled attraction, and a Peter Pan attraction.
Yeah, three lands. Those are going into Tokyo Disney Sea, but not till I believe 2022. It will be when those. But this has come in 2020, and
yeah. Back to this video. We have it up on ThrillGeek.com. Go and watch it because the animatronics in this ride. They show a clip of Belle. They show a clip of Philippe, her and Philippe, and her horse.
Yeah, that's amazing. They show only from behind an animatronic of Belle and Beauty and the Beast. And then they showed video of Belle. Basically, you don't see her legs, but she's walking.
You could tell she's walking, yeah.
And she's moving. And she's holding a lantern, so I'm assuming that's sort of either she's... To me, it's either she's walking through the Beast Castle, It might be for the scene where she's walking through the woods.
Well, she's got her cape on, so she's probably
It might be the scene where she's running away through the woods.
Yeah, from the wolves or whatever.
But once again, this will be a trackless ride. You'll be sitting in an 8-person teacup, and you will, some of the scenes you will be literally moving around each other. The Be Our Guest scene. The Belle and sitting on the table is in the middle of the showroom, and you're moving around the almost like you're part of the Be Your Guest musical sequence.
Yeah, I mean that was the perfect ride vehicle choice for this attraction. we have Antarctica here at SeaWorld, and that's the same technology, Oceaneering, I think it is.
Yeah, it's the same technology that's in Pooh's Honey Hunt.
Yeah.
At Tokyo Disneyland. And then another scene they showed is when you go into the ballroom, and it looks like it might be the finale scene, because it's Belle dancing with the prince. He's no longer the Beast.
Yeah.
And they're in the middle of the room, and you're moving around them. They showed the chandelier. The chandelier is gigantic. They showed the chandelier. They tease so many things. This thing is just jaw-dropping. And like I said, the animatronics they showed. No crappy projection faces in this attraction.
I'm glad Disney's moved past that, it seems like.
Well, I don't know if it's Disney's moved past that, or if it's just OLC actually spends the money.
Yeah.
To create, because one of my biggest complaints about the Frozen ride is those projection faces just look so horrible. They don't match up to the skin that's on the rest of their bodies.
Yeah, they always look off in some way or fashion. Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to use the projection eyes on, like, the animals and stuff, or, like, Olaf.
Yeah.
That makes sense, but it just looks so weird, and it looks so cheap.
Yeah.
And we saw, especially the Belle that was walking, her face was moving, there was no issue with having if you have a high-tech enough animatronic, it looks amazing.
Yeah, and the Belle animatronics in this attraction show that very well.
Yeah, and from what some people have said, some insiders have said online, it's like that, especially the Belle that was moving, this is the type of animatronic we're going to see in the Rise of the Resistance ride.
Yeah, and that's what I said on Twitter. You know, there were a lot of people, I was one of them, comparing this to, like, Frozen and stuff, like you said, with the projection faces and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, hold on. I was like, I don't think we've seen any of the animatronics in the Rise of the Resistance ride coming to Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, I mean, the teaser we saw was live-action actors in one of the sets.
Yeah.
From the Rise of the Resistance ride.
Now, given some of these animatronics are going to be stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And they're not going to have a face.
But some of them are going to be resistant soldiers and rebel and imperial and first order, people. So it's we still have no clue how many animatronics are in this. We know there's some projection, but we're talking. This gives you an idea of some of the next gen animatronic technology that's going to be used, but. Once again, this is another amazing dark ride and they're getting, this is one of four dark rides they're getting over the next 4 years.
Yeah. Like I said, Frozen, Tangled, Peter Pan, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. So Disney can still, when Disney has the proper budget and someone who will put up the money, the Imagineers can make amazing things. So.
Yeah. They're saying that this Beauty and the Beast attraction and that area will be opening in the fiscal year 2020.
Yeah, I think the idea is to get it open before the Olympics.
Yeah.
In 2020 in Tokyo. So.
Kind of similar to what Universal Japan's doing for Nintendo Land.
Yeah, it's
all these parks are trying to crank out these attractions in time for the Olympics.
Yeah, because I mean, tourism—it's Japan. Not only because of the Olympics, but the Olympics will remind everybody about Japan again, especially Tokyo. And usually that is one thing an Olympics does boost your tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So
all right. All week long, you've been kind of teasing on Twitter some of the top things you're excited for about your trip to Tokyo. Which, like we said, this is going to post Monday morning. You will already be there, but yeah. I figured it'd be a good time for you to kind of go over those and anything else you wanted to talk about your upcoming trip to Tokyo.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously, if you're listening to us now, we're already there.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. yeah, everybody's like, are you excited yet? I was like, I will be excited once we are in Chicago on the ANA plane and we have taken off to Tokyo.
Yeah.
Then I will be excited. I was like, until that moment, that point happens, I don't trust anything or anything, because I've done plenty of air travel over the years, and
a lot of stuff can happen.
Yeah, so until I'm in the air, then I will be, once I'm in the air, I will be happy, I have a very happy camper.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when we were counting down this week, there's so many things to be excited for at Tokyo Disney and Tokyo in general, because you know, we are going to Tokyo Disney. That's the first part of the trip. Our first 3.5 days are at Tokyo Disney. Then we're spending the rest of it in Tokyo, and we will go to stuff like you know, Joyopolis, and the Tokyo Dome City where Thunder Dolphin is, and then going to I mean, there's so many things to do in Tokyo. It's nuts.
Yeah,
try to narrow it down over the 4 other days, you know, that we have there. So it's you know, there's so many things to be excited for. I mean, just at Tokyo Disney alone, they have 3 parades.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about that.
Parades.
That was your tweet yesterday or the other day. Was the 3 parades, the 35th anniversary parade?
Yeah, the 35th anniversary parade, Dreaming Up, which I have not watched. I've seen a couple of pictures, and the pictures of the floats I've seen are like jaw dropping. You know, many people who've seen this parade have called it the best day parade Disney's ever created. We get Christmas Stories, their Christmas parade, so you know that's cool to see. You know, I've seen. Was it Christmas Fantasy at Disneyland, and of course Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time here. So it's gonna be cool to see another Christmas parade, and then the big thing, of course, is to see Dream Lights, the nighttime parade, which, you know, many people who've seen all the Disney nighttime parade call it the best one. And even since it's Christmas time, they add a little extra Christmas theming to the nighttime parade too. So you know. It's crazy that a park that has 3 parades?
You're not going to know what to do with yourself.
Oh, and one of them, in I think the Christmas parade, they run twice, so.
When's the last time we had a nighttime parade at Magic Kingdom?
It's been, has it been a year and a half now? It's been over a year.
It's got to be over, yeah, at least. Tell me a little more about some of the food. I'm scrolling through Twitter here on my phone. This one of the tweets you sent out on the Thrill Geek Twitter handle, some of the food in Tokyo.
Yeah,
the melon bread.
Yeah, Tokyo is known for their snacks.
Snacky snacks.
Snack foods. And their food in general. I mean, the counter service restaurants there, the theming in some of them is crazy. There's, was it Aunt Sarah's Kitchen, which is basically built into Splash Mountain there, so it's themed like you're underground.
Oh, that's cool.
There's the Queen of Hearts Banquet Hall, which is this massively themed counter service restaurant. It's themed to, you know, the Queen of Hearts and Alice in Wonderland. But I mean, even down to like, you get each, some of the restaurants have their own specific plates and cups, and it's crazy. Where, you know, we're here, we have the same generic Disney Parks stuff in both places. But like, I mean, there's things like some of the crazy snacks that are pretty popular. There's a pizza spring roll.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a spring roll filled with mozzarella and pizza sauce.
Yummy.
There's the melon bread.
What is that? I saw that. What is that?
They have one right now that's made to look like it's called melon pan. It's a sweet bread that's popular in Japan. They have right now they have one that looks like Mike Wazowski. it has like a hint of melon taste to it, but it's very light and fluffy, but not too sweet. But then there's like the Mickey, there's a Minnie Mouse bun, which which is sort of like it's a steamed bun filled with like strawberry cream. You know, they have mini Mickey. You know, we all seen Mickey waffles. They do have. I think it's the Great American Waffle Company in Tokyo Disneyland that has all these different kind of Mickey waffles. But over in Tokyo Disney Sea, they have mini Mickey waffles, which are little bite-sized waffles.
Oh, those could be dangerous.
Yeah. The other thing that's really popular, it used to be, there's the Chandu bread, which used to be the Chandu tail, but it's been replaced by the Chandu bread, which is filled like with this warm like chicken curry inside of it that's supposed to be like really good. I mean, there's Mickey-shaped chicken nuggets. Another popular thing is the gyozo dog, which is a gyozo. I'm probably saying this wrong. A gyozo is like a small dumpling that's typically filled with pork and vegetables. Well, this one's shaped in like a hot dog bun, and you hold it in its hand size, so you know, you can get it to go and eat it.
What's this UKIWA bun? Yukiwa?
Yukiwa bun. It's a steamed bun filled with shrimp. It apparently is very popular.
And then of course you've got the flavored popcorns, which seems like there's a new flavor popping up on Twitter about every damn day from Tokyo Disney.
Yeah, you got the flavored popcorns, everything from honey to was it black pepper?
They released curry. A new one just this week. It was like sweet chili or something, or chili something or something like that.
Yeah,
the one that I sent to you.
Yeah, something. It's something like that. Yeah, Tokyo Disneyland, let's see, there's caramel, soy sauce and butter, milk chocolate, curry, salt, honey, and barbecue.
Here it is, Chinese chili.
Yeah, Chinese chili, that was the one. Tokyo Disney Sea has like black pepper, garlic shrimp, strawberry.
Strawberry popcorn?
Yeah, strawberry popcorn.
Weird.
So, like all these different popcorn flavors. On top of like... they have all these different popcorn buckets, too. You know, I mean, popcorn buckets have become a thing here in U.S., but it really started there, really, with the elaborate popcorn buckets. I mean, they got everything from a Steamboat Willie one. There's a special 35th anniversary one. There's a Chip and Dale one. There's a... there's like a Donald one. There's a Dumbo popcorn Muppet, a BB-8, Darth Vader, Cinderella's carriage, Lightning McQueen, Stella Lou, Buzz Lightyear.
I forgot the whole Stella Lou thing's crazy popular over there too.
Well, there's Duffy, there's Stella Lou,
yeah, like
Gelatoni, and there's one other one that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, but all those kind of like soft, plushy, adorable animals.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, they're only available in Tokyo Disney Sea.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't buy them anywhere else. All their stuff is only available in Tokyo Disney Sea.
So, and we already kind of went over some of the rides you're excited about, so we won't bore people with that again.
Yeah, I think the only issue now is the weather forecast. Is right now it's like got rain scheduled on Tuesday and Wednesday that we're there.
Oh, really?
So we might. It's looking like originally our original plan was to go to Tokyo Disneyland the first night. That may change now, and we may actually do Disney Sea the first night. Because with their tickets there, you have to the first two if you on multi-day passes. The first 2 days, you got to pick one park one day, the other park the second day, and then the other like third and fourth days you can park hop.
Yeah.
Of course, the issue with rain is if it's raining, then they don't usually do the parade. They do like a rainy day. There's a rainy day version of that they send out.
Now, have you done any planning with... I haven't asked you this. Have you done any planning with, like, fast passes? Because everybody knows Tokyo uses the paper fast passes. So have you put some thought into your plan of attack with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty... you know, there's many people like TDR Explorer who and many others out there who basically have, like, guides to you know, I've read TDR Explorer, I've looked at Theme Park Review, I've looked at the Disney guide, I'm going blank on their Disney tourist blog, I think, but TDR Explorer, he really has some of the best stuff, not just his website, there's a podcast, there's videos, but yeah, I mean, Tokyo, the big thing there is you have to get there a bare minimum half an hour before the park opens, but literally depending on how busy the park is, anywhere from 30 minutes to 90 minutes before the park opens, you need to be there.
Yeah.
You need to be some of the first in the park, and immediately, like Tokyo Disneyland, people go back and forth. Either you should run straight to the new Monsters Inc. ride and get a fast pass there, and then go ride Pooh's Honey Hunt, or you run to Pooh's Honey Hunt, get a fast pass there, and then go ride Monsters, Inc.
I remember those days.
Yeah, in Tokyo Disney Sea, you need to run straight to Tower of Terror, or Toy Story Mania is the most popular attraction there right now. part of that is just because whatever's the newest thing is the most popular thing.
Yeah.
I don't care about riding Toy Story Mania there. So
it works in your favor.
Yeah. So we'll be running straight to Tower of Terror, get our Tower of Terror fast pass, and then run straight to Journey to the Center of the Earth. And it's a whole thing. Like, you know, once your time's up, you hit your window for your Tower of Terror fast pass, then you can get something else. You know, it all varies. What's funny thing is some things like Pirates, you don't really need a fast pass for.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure if their Pirates even has fast pass. And then Haunted Mansion Holiday Nightmare, that it depends on what day of the week whether that runs fast pass or not. But I don't think the days Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the weekdays that were there, I don't think Haunted Mansion will have fast pass. But yeah, you the biggest thing with Tokyo Disney is you have to be there before the park opens.
Yeah.
Or you will be behind.
Yeah, so. Get a head start on everybody. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same deal here. You know, there's a lot of people that show up half an hour, an hour for Magic Kingdom and stuff.
Yeah, and the parks, I mean, I think Tokyo Disneyland opens at 8:30 a.m. and till 10 p.m. And Tokyo Disney Sea opens at 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. And I think, like at Tokyo Disneyland, the first parade is at, like, I think 10:30. it's 10:30 or 11:30 is the first parade.
You're still waking up, and they're already kicking off the parades.
Yeah. So it's definitely, you know, like I said, our priority is the stuff that's exclusive there, the shows, the attractions that are exclusive there. If we miss some things that aren't exclusive there, then so be it. You know, but it's you know, we're more about not riding every single attraction. I'd rather ride Pooh's Honey Hunt two or three times and miss, you know, maybe Peter Pan or something
that you can come back here and do.
Yeah, or Buzz Lightyear when I can, you know, I can do that at Disneyland or here. So
yeah,
That's the priority, is the exclusive attractions, shows, parades, nighttime stuff that you can only see there. And a lot of the stuff you can only, like, you know, they create shows for stuff and then they go away. They don't run forever.
Yeah, and that's kind of like their merchandise too. You know, you've been doing a lot of research on the merchandise, and, you know, me too, because I want you to bring me home a goodie from Tokyo Disney, and the merchandise at Tokyo Disney changes a lot.
It changes daily.
Yeah.
the merchandise they have, and you know, there's specific Christmas merchandise, and there's specific Christmas merchandise for Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo DisneySea, and some that's for the entire resort.
Yeah,
you know, same thing. There's 35th anniversary merchandise, but you know, the Christmas merchandise. Last day of Christmas celebration is December 25th. After December 25th, all that Christmas merch, all that stuff's gone.
Bye bye. Yeah.
You know, same thing. You know, some people remember the days of when Walt Disney World like used to change decorations overnight. That's literally what happens at Tokyo Disneyland. Literally, December 25th is the last day of the Christmas celebration. You come back in the next day, all the Christmas stuff is gone.
Huh.
Overnight, it's all gone.
Which is interesting because, you know, here they run it to, what, the first week of January?
Well, the thing is, they have New Year's. New Year's is a bigger holiday there.
Yeah,
literally, their New Year celebration starts December 26th.
Makes sense. I never really thought about that, but yeah. I forgot the Japanese, they're big into their New Year's celebration.
Yeah,
so.
New Year's Eve at Tokyo Disney is a separately ticketed event. So...
here it's like go to Epcot.
Yeah.
So all right, well, safe travel, sir, and I'm sure you'll have lots to talk about when you come back.
Yeah, and we'll be posting throughout the we have a Wi-Fi hotspot, and we'll be posting throughout our trip there on all the social medias
on opposite time schedules too.
Yeah, it's the early morning stuff. The stuff when we're in the when we get to the park first thing in the morning will be nighttime here.
It's almost like a 24-hour time difference, isn't it?
It's a 13-hour time difference.
Oh, so, well, that's what I mean. Like day and night.
Yeah, it's literally day and night. So when we're going into the parks in the morning, it'll be nighttime here, and then when it gets to nighttime there, it'll be first thing in the morning. It'll be in the morning here. So
that's gonna suck.
Yeah, that's why we're literally, you know, one of the reasons we went ahead and recorded this tonight is because I'm staying up all night. We're staying up all night long.
Trying to get into the swing of things.
Try to get us into the swing of things. And literally, we'll get on the plane tomorrow and sleep from, we fly from Orlando to Chicago. So we'll sleep during that part. And then we'll sleep, our goal is to sleep at least half the flight over there.
Yeah.
And then try to get ourselves adjusted. And then when we get there, we hit the ground running, and we don't stop until, you know, 11 o'clock at night to just, you know, keep pushing through.
Yeah.
And try to get ourselves adjusted to, I mean, the jet lag's going to hit us no matter what.
Yeah, it's just going to be something that you're going to have to, you know, adjust to and figure out and...
But this is the best way to do it, is to stay up all night.
I think your adrenaline will be going just fine.
Yeah, no, when we get there, the adrenaline will be going really good. And like I said, it's usually the second day.
Yeah.
Is when it's
going to when it hits you.
When it hits you at some point. So,
yeah.
And we don't get, I mean, we're probably only going to get, especially those first days at Tokyo Disney, we're only going to get maybe 6 or 7 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah,
and because you know we got to be up, and we got to you know be there, you know since it won't be as busy, we don't have to be there till a half an hour before the park opens, but it's like we got to be up and going and every morning, and we're going to be about 20 minutes away from the resort, the Airbnb we're staying, so it's you know
got to get up and get there like you said, so
yeah,
all right. Well, like I said, enjoy it, sir. Have fun. Do post some pictures and some stuff, but don't overdo it, as I've told you before.
Yeah, we'll be posting on social media, and then we will have a bunch of content for YouTube when we get back. So
yeah, so look forward to that, everybody, when Barry gets back. And we'll figure out the recording next week's episode, because literally get back on Sunday evening.
Yes,
I'll be picking you up at the airport.
Yeah, you'll be picking me up at the airport, and there's the big question. You know, you get home, and will I be
I'll bring my laptop and my microphone in the car, and we'll just record it on the drive back.
Yeah, will I be functioning enough, because that The podcast we have, the entire podcast we're going to do is just going to be all about Tokyo and Japan.
Yeah, so we'll play that by ear when you get back Sunday night. If you're in no shape, we'll postpone it.
Yeah.
And we'll figure that out. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So,
yeah. So remember, we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Please like and follow our Facebook page, and that's where we do most of our live streams, and maybe we'll do a live stream from Tokyo. We'll have to wait and see. We are youtube.com/thrillgeek. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got a bunch of new videos up there, from the Grand Circle Tour of the Walt Disney World Railroad to saying goodbye to Move It, Shake It, to a bunch of holiday stuff at Disney and Universal. And we're going to have even more content coming to you soon from Tokyo. And we are ThrillGeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. And, of course, you're listening to the Thrill Geek Podcast, available wherever podcasts are sold.
Yeah, and I'll be, I would have already been there by the time this is posted. But on Saturday, I was at Universal. I'm going to be at Universal, and I'm going to try and get some more video from there. I'm taking my oldest there, and we're going to go check that out and stuff. So I'll get some more stuff up on YouTube for that. What else besides Tokyo coming up here? I think that's it, really.
That's it.
Yeah.
We're getting towards the end of the year, and we've got a couple of end of the year podcasts planned where we're going to go over our top theme park stories of the year, and then one where we're going to do some top movies and TV shows of the year. So,
yeah, we got that coming up, and I have a few. I've been brainstorming a few ideas for kind of. I know we've reviewed Christmas stuff, but I've been trying to come up with an idea for a live Christmas show that we could record somewhere. So I'll see if I can put that together too. So. Anyways, Barry, enjoy your trip, and we'll see you in maybe in a week and a half.
Yeah, and I'll see you in the parks.
Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
And see you in the parks in Japan.